Welcome to the new Company Burning Hearts podcast with a special guest this month, Nancy Cohen. Most of you have probably heard of her. You're going to enjoy this. It's a great session. It's called Limitless. It's about living beyond the limitations of human existence. If you like this session, you may want to think about joining me, Justin Abraham, and Nancy in July in England for a retreat. We're going to have a great weekend together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Tonight I wanted to talk to you a little bit about release from human limitations. And Father, right now, I thank you and I praise you that the seed of this word will fall on good ground. I thank you, Lord, that there'll be no conjecture concerning pride or arrogance or any other thing, that it'll be received as coming straight from the heart of God. I lay down my own thoughts. I lay down my own desires. I lay down my own expectations. I put them under my feet now. And I ask you, Lord, to come. I yield my tongue. I yield my words. I yield my thoughts to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll make your thoughts my thoughts, that you'll make your words my words, that it'll not be my word, but your word that goes forth tonight. And I promise to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, Lord, I can't do anything. Kielo dobro hosata shalana makai yelo namo kokuriandro. All right. Divine breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Oh, that is pitiful. Everybody say breakthrough. 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 This is a time of God's divine breakthrough initiated for us for the release from human limitations. Before I tell you this, I want to share a few things with, before I go into the teaching, I just want to share a few things with you from my personal experience. You know, the Word says that they'll be won by the Word, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the testimony of our mouths. The things that I'm going to share with you tonight seem very unrealistic. And in fact, even today I was thinking to myself, when I tell the story about the satanic Melchizedek guy, I think to myself, if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't believe it either. I would think somebody was making it up, but it happened to me, okay? So many of the things that I'm going to tell you tonight, also, you'll have a tendency to think, well, that's really good for her, but I myself can't enter into that, and it's not true. The truth is, I don't have 1 ounce of anointing any more than anybody else in this building. The only difference between you and me is I'm a forerunner, and I've been doing this for 35 years. So it's become an easy thing for me to do. When I begin to talk about human limitations, a lot of times people think, well, pride or arrogance or self-elevation can sneak in. And I want to tell you, nobody knows more than I do that pride and arrogance cannot have any part of me. So the only reason why I'm telling you the things that I'm telling you are because you're going to begin to do it yourselves, okay? I've been traveling in the nations now for about 22 years. I've been to over 80 nations. When I go to the nations, in the last 30 years, I can tell you, I've begun to break through that human limitation. And when I first received the revelation, the Lord told me, I'll never allow you to preach this until you can become the manifestation of its truth. So today I stand before you as a manifestation of the truth that it is possible to break through human limitations. In all the years that I've been traveling the nations, I've had the most astounding, most unbelievable things to eat. I've eaten beating monkey brains. I've eaten yak eyes, buzzard claws, rats, cats, bats, dead fish heads, rotten chickens and chicken heads. I've drunk blood. I've had all of these things that I've taken into my body.
And in 30 years of having traveled through the nations, I've never, ever, ever once been sick. I've never had a cold. I've never had a fever. I've never had a toothache. I've never had diarrhea. That in itself is totally amazing when you're traveling in third world nations. I go to Mexico and I drink the water right out of the tap, and everybody says, don't do that, don't do that. You're going to have Montezuma's revenge. I said, no, I'm not. One time I went to Africa and we lost our water. We were traveling in Zimbabwe and we were out in the bush. And we lost our water on the plane trip out there. And I got into the bush, and I'm trying to preach, and my throat is like parched. So they went and they got me a glass of water that would look like mud. It came right up out of the ground, and I held this glass up, and the glass was filthy dirty, and I could actually see stuff swimming in the water. And I said, well, Lord, you said, we could drink any deadly thing, and it would not hurt us, so here it goes, and down it went. In all of the times that I've been traveling to all of the nations, I have never, ever, ever had jet lag. Now, when you travel millions of miles, to say that you've never, ever had jet lag is totally amazing. In fact, on my trip over here, it took me from the time I left my house to the time I got to their house was 62 or 64 hours. And in that 64 hours, I got 1 hour of sleep. But when I got off of the plane, I was so excited to see John and B and everybody. I was just so excited, so full of energy that it didn't even bother me that I hadn't had any sleep. I've been in places before in the caves of China when I actually preached 5 solid days without ever sitting down, without ever taking a break, without ever taking a nap or stopping for dinner or getting a glass of water or even going to the bathroom. Have you ever tried to go to the bathroom in a cave anyway with 1,000 other people? How is that even possible? It's not humanly possible. The way that it has become possible is I'm beginning to get that breakthrough to set my spirit in control of my soul and my body. Okay? So basically what we're going to talk about tonight is how all of that's going to happen and what is our type and our example for it. Okay? So, God is good. He really, really is good. Thank you, Lord. My grandchildren, they laugh at me all the time because I'm ancient, as I've told many of you. I really, really know and understand I am ancient. In fact, I can guarantee, maybe with one exception, I'm the oldest person in here. And I still have more energy than all of my children and my grandchildren put together. My children can't even keep up with me. I take them on a trip with me and they're ready to go to bed at the end of the first night. And I'm saying, bed? Who's going to go to bed? You know, so, all right, let's go to divine breakthrough. First of all, what is divine breakthrough? Divine means of God and consisting of the divine nature. Therefore, what that means is we're coming into a position in the divine, okay? Breakthrough means the destruction of all barriers or limitations that prevent a final kingdom thrust. Notice it's the destruction of all barriers. What kind of barriers do we have in our life to the release of human limitations? We have to get rid of those barriers, both in the natural and in the spiritual realms. And occupation. Everybody say occupation. Occupation. Occupation of the spiritual territory around here that produces the manifestation of Christ's words, for with God, nothing is impossible. We say that all the time, but do we really believe it? Do we really, really believe it? Do we really, really, really believe it? If we really, really believe that all things are possible with God, if we really, 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 in the depths of our being, believe that all things work together for good to those that are called according to His purpose, then how can anything that we perceive as not being good have any control over us? Once we understand what it means to accept the Word of God exactly as it is said, without question, without doubt, without fear, without hesitation, without emotion, we can understand what it means, that nothing is impossible for God. Our current limitations are imposed by divine authority. As I'm telling you this, I want you to know that it's been by God's divine design that to this present time we've operated under human limitations. The reason for that is, if the Lord gave us an understanding before this time and this hour of what measure of power He wants us to operate in, we would have already destroyed the world many times over, because there's a time and a season in God. To everything, there's a time and a season. In the year 2000 to 2005, and I use that loosely because our time is a little bit skewed, but in the year between 2000 and 2005, we left the age of the church and we came into the age of the kingdom. And what that means is that we're going to begin to feel that release from human limitations. The Word says it this way in Galatians chapter 4. It says, the Son, though He is the heir of all things, is still subject, or it says in some, still a slave to, teachers and tutors and guides that are put over Him until He grows up into the fullness of maturity, at which time He receives the fullness of His inheritance. That means that the body of Christ has been operating at a very, very immature level for 2,000 years. Therefore, it was expedient for us that we be put under the headship of teachers and tutors and guides, for the same reason that Ezra needs parents, okay? As we're babies, as we're infants, we need somebody to teach us, guide us, direct us, teach us how to walk, teach us how to eat, teach us how to speak. We need all of that in the natural realm, and so we need it in the spirit. So the limitations that we've been operating under have been by God's own divine design. What kind of limitations are we under, and what kind of things are we going to break away from? Man can only go just a few days without water. In fact, recently the Lord gave me this word. He said, buy water, buy water, buy water. In the end time, the underground aquifers in the earth are going to become polluted. Buy water, for in the end times, whoever has water will have more than silver and more than gold and more than food, for they can live without silver, they can live without gold, they can even live without food, but they cannot live without water. Therefore, our bodies, the most necessary thing that we need in our bodies is water. Our body is made up of 75 to 78% water, depending on our weight. Man can only go a few weeks without food. I was telling everybody today that that for 10 years, I went on a 40-day water fast. During that course of that water fast, I never had another bite of food. I never had juice. I never had any other thing, only water for 40 days. And there's a reason for that. You know, people say, well, you can't go with only water for 40 days. And I said, yes, I can. And the reason why is the Lord showed me that inside of our mentalities is much doubt and unbelief. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, He came down the mount after having just been shown and just revealed in His divine estate, which now we can see Him in, and we ourselves are becoming. He came down the mountain, and there were scribes and Pharisees on one side and the disciples on the other side and a little boy flip-flopping around on the earth in between them. And the father of the little boy came and said, Lord, Lord, my son is sore vexed, for he falls into the water one moment, he falls into the fire another moment, and I brought him to your disciples to cast out the demons, but they could not. Now, these are the hand-picked disciples of Jesus. He chose them, He anointed them, He called them, they're His people, all right? He turned around to His disciples and He said, you wicked and perverse generation, how long do I have to be with you before you understand? He turned around, He rebuked the demons, the boy was made whole from that very moment, and the Word says afterwards the disciples came to Him and they said, Lord, why couldn't we cast out that demon? Now listen what the Lord said, because of your doubt and your unbelief. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, a lot of people will teach, well, Jesus was prayed up and fasted up, so it was easy for him to cast out those demons. He's not talking about the demons in the little boy. He's talking about the doubt and the unbelief in his chosen ones. This kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. So, as we're preparing to get ready for the release of limitations, let me tell you that God will call you to fast on water. Actually, this breaks forth unbelievable things in the heavenly realms. In fact, you've just been watching the Transformations video of Almalanga, and the way that they got the breakthrough in Almalanga was 40 days of prayer and fasting, the entire city. Man can only go a few weeks without food. He can only go so long without sleep. That's what they say. No matter how much money he has, man can't buy even one more minute of time or one bit more of health. I heard somebody say one time, a man spends all of his health in the first part of his life trying to make money, and in the second part of his life, he spends all of his money trying to get his health back. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty much true. So all the money that we have can't buy health. It can't buy one more minute of time. The only way we can buy one more minute of time, it's like during worship today, tonight it was like 3 seconds to me. You know, and I'm thinking, Lord, we're really, really being released from that time thing. No matter how he tries not to, man will age and eventually die. That also is coming to an end. Okay? Yet, Moses stayed on Mount Sinai for almost 3 months with no food and no water. He was sustained purely by the divine life and the divine nature in the presence of an unlimited God. That's a type and a foreshadow for us. When we're in the presence of an unlimited God, we can do exactly the same thing. We've been surrounded by limitations. We've been creatures of circumstances, limited by time and space and distance and human knowledge and physical strength and endurance. We have been, but we are no longer going to be limited by time. Let me tell you what, time and space and distance, those are not even prevalent in the realms of the spirit. Those are earth terms and they're earth confinements. Once we learn how to get really to live in the Spirit of God, we're completely released from time and space and distance. Because in the realms of the Spirit, there is no time, there is no space, there is no distance. In the realms of the Spirit, everything that can be done has already been done, and it was already done before the earth was ever created. That's why the Word says, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth, okay? Therefore, the working out of that in the earth realm is what we are now experiencing. But everything has already been done in the realms of the Spirit. It's done. That's why there's no past, no present, no future. And Jesus himself, in earth terms, said, I am the God who was, the God who is, the God who ever shall be. Jesus does not live in time. Time lives in him. Okay? Time lives in him. Therefore, if we really, truly, really, truly understand what it means to be in Christ, and he is not relegated to time, past, present, or future. If we know what it means to be in him, and we can be wherever he is, I've gone in advance, I've opened a door, I've prepared the way that wherever I am, you may be also. Neither are we limited by time or space or distance, because we're in him. Okay? Everybody all right with that? So we can be released from time or space or distance. Let me just ask you a question. If the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world, what was the purpose of the cross then? If the completed work of Jesus Christ was already done before the world was ever created, what was the purpose for the cross? Somebody answer me. Huh? No? There's a purpose for the cross. What? That's right. Because God knew the demand of humanity to see something. So what he did was he took something that was done thousands of years before in the invisible realm. He brought it down out of the invisible realm and squarely seated it in the presence of the visible realm. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became manifest in mortal flesh so that we could behold, so that we could see, okay? Now, I want you to stand at the place of the cross and listen to what Jesus said. They asked him, what was his purpose? Well, I came to destroy death, hell, and the grave. I came to destroy the works of the wicked one. I came that all men might be saved and all men might be healed, but all men aren't saved, all men aren't healed. I know 250,000 people that died in 10 minutes. I helped pick up their bodies. We're traveling all over the world fighting against rulers and powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. So my question is, did he really complete the purpose for which he was sent? I'm just asking questions. Okay? The answer is yes. But now the thing that he did 2,000 years ago, that thing that was accomplished in the invisible realm, is going to be brought down out of the invisible realm and squarely planted on the earth in the visible realm, and that's called the restoration of all things. When we understand what it means not to be limited to time or space or distance, we can see it all. Trust me, we can see it all, okay? All right, so I'm going to run out of time for sure. Okay, so no matter how strong we are, we've only been able to work so many hours before we have to give in to sleep. That was true, but it's not going to be true. Because the truth is, the Lord is going to begin to put our spirit in the primary control position. We're coming back into primordial position. Our spirit is going to take control of our soul, and our soul will no longer be able to hold us down to an earthly environment with gravitational pull, because the spirit is coming back into its control. Amen? No matter how large an empire we have, we've only been able to be in one place at one time. Well, maybe and maybe not. I've been in multiple places at the same time, many times, and so have you. You just haven't realized what it is that you're doing. Now God is beginning to waken our memory. The memory that goes to sleep at night, remember when I was talking, it goes to sleep at night, but your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit is caught up to see the things that were, the things that are, and the things that are yet to come. The way that you recognize that is you get into these conversations, you get into these deja vu experiences. Oh, I feel like I've really been here before. Well, guess what? You have. You have. It's not some just deja vu experience. It happened when you were caught one night up into the spirit and you saw the things that were and the things that are and the things that are yet to come. But on that particular day, the thing that was yet afar off became downloaded into the earth and your spirit picked up on it. Yes. You knew that you had been there. But your soul, that thing inside of you that exalts itself against all that is God or godly every time, discounted it. Oh, you stupid person. You couldn't have been in this conversation before. You only met these people today. So we just set it on a back shelf and say, deja vu. Sometimes the greatest and richest and most powerful and influential men in the world have to leave this earth at the very zenith of their power because of the limitations of their body. The divine download from heaven. Look at this picture. I want you to look at the picture because this is what's happening to us. It applies light to the frequency of technology that has always, always been emanating from the earth in the spiritual atmosphere. The thing is, it's only just now beginning to be revealed. The technology of heaven is coming down in such vast proportion. I'm telling you guys, I am totally amazed by what's going on here, really. I know people that have had this teaching for 15 years that have not progressed to the point where you are because of the time and the season in which you're born. That as it's coming down from the heavens, you're open receivers. You just throw open the doors of your heart and you just receive it and activate it. And that God loves that. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. I want to spend just a second on Earth's technology for a reason. I found this in a U.S. News and World Report under the business section, and I thought that's very interesting. There have been more technological advances in the past 2 years than in the past 20 years. There have been more advances in technology in the past 20 years than in the past 200 years. There have been more technological advances in the last 200 years than in the previous 2,000 years. It's interesting that that is a 10%, hello? A 10% differential in the technology that is being introduced into the earth. There's a reason for that. I love this picture. Of course, it's a little outdated now. You can tell by looking at the computer. But I love this picture. When I see this picture, I think about Ezra. Because Ezra is born in a time and a period. I remember one time I was at home and my little 3-year-old grandson came in. And he says, "Hey, Mimi, come and play this game with me on the computer." He's 3 years old. So I walk in and I sit down with him by the computer. And he's going like that. And I'm sitting there trying to read the directions on the screen, trying to figure out how to play this game. And I turned to him and I said, "Jonathan, how can you even know how to play this game? You can't even read." And he said, "I don't know. I guess I was just born with a chip in my head." And I thought to myself, that's exactly what's happening right now. You see, you've been born with a chip in your head, and that chip in your head has a different level of technology in the terms of spiritual things. Therefore, we're going to grow up. Here I am. I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to play that game, and a little 3-year-old kid is already, you know. That's how it's happening right now everywhere throughout the world. In fact, the Lord gave me a word one time. He said, the people that have been born into the kingdom age, those that were born again after the year 2000 to 2005, they're born with a different technology. I said, "Lord, okay, are they going to have to spend 40 years learning all this stuff like I did?" He said, "No, they're going to be born in Zion." Therefore, they have at the time they're born into the kingdom, they have a totally different paradigm that they're operating by. I've seen that this is true because of all the people that I've led to the Lord since 2005 for sure. It's like they bypass 2,000 years of church history and they click into the heavenly realms and they begin to operate in ways so magnificent it would blow your mind. Most of those people have led. This one guy in Medan, he was a jihad terrorist. And he gave his life to the Lord, and in 3.5 years, he built, listen, numerically, it is not even possible. In 3.5 years, he built 48,000 home cells. Now, if you figure that out on the calculator, what does that mean? It means there's just like almost logarithmic growth going on, and most all of the people that are in those home cells are ex-jihad terrorists. Okay? So God is doing some really amazing things. This is what the new people in the realms of the spirit look like, even if they're babies. I laugh because that's what Ezra's going to do, right? He's going to graduate before the rest of us even get through college. All right. These are pictures. I'm going to just zoom through these pictures because I want to get to the end. There's been a greater advance in technology in the natural world in the past 50 years than in the past 5,000. The word says, as in the natural, man's physical natural world is undergoing a tremendous level of change. And it's releasing us in the areas of communication and transportation. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first, that which is natural. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. Therefore, the reason for this rapid expediting of technology being downloaded into the earth is that the counterpart of that is also going on in the realms of the heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. As in the natural revolution of technology is only a shadow. It's a shadow. Everything here on the earth is a shadow or a reflection of things that are taking place in the kingdom realm. Why are we having all of these expedited timetables taking place right now? Because now is the time for the same great advance of technology in the realms of the spirit. There are mysteries and technologies in the spirit that we have not even touched yet, but the Lord is beginning to release them. In the natural realm, man has begun to press against the barriers. I want everybody to say, press against the barriers. Press against the barriers. We have to press against the barriers that limit us because there are multitudes of barriers. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The speed of transportation, the sound barrier, that remember that thing I had with the plane on it? That the technology for lift and drag has always been in the earth, but until the technology was downloaded into the mind of a man, it couldn't be used to benefit all of humanity. As they approach the sound barrier, what happens in a plane is it sets up vibrations. And these vibrations nearly tear the whole plane apart because there's a violent shaking. So until they found a way to manufacture a metal that could stand the shaking, it was normal for the planes to just shake and shake and shake. One time I went to NASA, and I was there to do a thing on vision. And it was really, really interesting. NASA is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration in the United States. So I was talking with this guy who was in the very beginning of the space program. He was like in his 80s, and I had this really awesome conversation with him. This is what he said. He said, you know, we've always had the technology for space exploration. It's always been here. We've always known what we needed to do. The problem was the developing of an alloy that could withstand the breaking through of Earth's atmosphere. Now, listen carefully. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my God, you're preaching my message right there. He said, so what we had to do was we had to find an alloy which we took 48 different types of metal and fused them together in a fiery furnace in order to cover the skin of the first rockets. He said, then we tried the first rockets and they went up and they just completely blew up as soon as they hit the outer atmosphere because the shaking and the fire and the friction was so great. So we decided what we do. Listen, we built a 3-part rocket. We made it up in 3 parts. In the bottom part, there was a part that provided the thrust for the rocket to get so high up. And when the rocket got so high up, that fuel container fell off and dropped back to Earth. Okay? Then the second part of it contained fuel to get it up to the outer edge of Earth's atmosphere. When it got up into Earth's atmosphere, that part fell off and dropped back. Okay? Are you hearing anything in here? All right, the 30, the 60, and the 100, okay? But the nose cone that they built, when it pressed through, when it hit the outer atmosphere of Earth, it would shake and shake and shake, and there was fire and friction. But when it finally broke through, it was smooth sailing. Smooth sailing, okay? When we finally break through that outer Earth's atmosphere, it's smooth sailing. It is so, so easy, okay? God is good. All right. I'm going to skip through some of this because I want to get to... All right. Here are some barriers that we have to push against. We have barriers, and whether we like to believe it or not, even though we're overcoming some of these barriers now, the main one we have to push against is the sound of men's voices. Because there are voices of negativity that have been whispering in our ears, oh, you guys are getting way too far out there. Oh, you're heretics. You're saying there's no heaven and no hell. You know what? The things they said about me after I started to preach this message, I had somebody call me and say that they heard that I was preaching there's no heaven and there's no hell. She was like one of the chief intercessors that I first led into out-of-body experience. So I said to her, Emma, let me ask you a question. Have you and I been to heaven together? She said, yes. Have you and I been to hell together? She said, yes. I said, do you think it's kind of strange that I would preach there's no heaven or no hell when you and I have both been there together? She goes, well, that's what I thought. It didn't make sense to me, but if that's not the truth, you got to email, you got to send out letters, you got to make telephone calls and let people know that this is not the truth. I said, well, I could do it, but if I did it, I'd be disobeying God, because when all of this broke loose, the Lord told me, you go like a lamb to the slaughter and you don't raise a single word in your defense. Okay? I'm your defender and I will defend you. So basically, yeah, that's the truth. The sound of men's voices were all in my ears everywhere. Well, they're going to destroy your ministry. I said, well, glory to God. The Lord said, until I gave up my name and gave up my reputation and gave up my ministry, she said, they're going to mess up your whole reputation. And I said, yeah, I know. I went to God and I said, Lord, what about my reputation? And he says, I made my own son of no reputation. Exactly why do you think I should spare yours? You know, the way that we think is so strange, but those voices, they can just haunt us all the time. That's why the Lord says we must learn to agree quickly with our adversary. Therefore, when they came and they said, you're a mystic, I go, glory to God, thank you very much. I'm so glad that you realize that. Okay? Yeah. We have to break through the barrier of men's voice. The second one is breaking through the doctrines of men, many of which you have been subject to for years and years. And I'm so glad to see that those chains are dropping off of you like crazy. The doctrines of men are not going to hold you back. They're not going to keep you down. They're not going to delay or defer the cause or the plan of Christ for your life in 1 second, not even a second. It's not going to hold you back. Discouraging words, traditional interpretations. You know, last night in my conversation with Benji, I was thinking to myself, you know, traditionally, we thought we had it all down pat. We thought we had all the answers. And in fact, in trying to break out of those answers that we thought were just etched in the heavens is the hardest thing we have to do. Because we've got it all worked out. We've brought the mind of God down. We've wrapped our little finite minds around his mind. And we say, well, God can't do this and God can't do this because the word says this and the word says that. And because of that, the hardest thing for us to break away from is traditional interpretations, one of which, by the way, is end-time eschatology. You know that we've been taught and taught and taught so much about end-time eschatology in the same way as Israel had the full revelation of God. They had the word of God that said that he was going to come as an overcoming, conquering, victorious hero to overthrow all the kingdoms of this world and sit on the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem. They also had the word that said he was going to come as a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, stricken, smitten, afflicted, rejected, that he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we would be healed. But for 2,000 years, they'd only been taught that when the Messiah came, he would come as the overcoming king. So when he came, they did not recognize him because he didn't come the way they'd been taught. Now, for 2,000 years, everything written of Israel is for teaching and instruction for the church. For 2,000 years, we've been taught exactly how Jesus Christ is going to come again, so that when he comes, we don't recognize him because he didn't come the way we were taught. Okay? The hardest thing to break away from is traditional interpretations. Everything about end-time eschatology, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit more tomorrow,
everything about it opposes or exalts itself against all that is God or godly. Even the idea of rapture. In fact, I got to the point where I started to call it escapology. Because basically what's happening is the heart of man can't perceive that the Lord would ever allow his people to suffer. So we're saying, well, we're going to be caught up and carried away into glory, and we're going to be having a party and a banquet in the heavens while the earth is dying and going to hell. I don't think so. The reason is that opposes everything Jesus did. He left glory, came down into tribulation, so that he could become a savior that the world wouldn't have to perish and suffer. And we want to leave and go to glory and get out of the tribulation so that we don't have to suffer. Now, how much does that oppose the Christ-like nature? A whole lot. Okay? All right. Assignment. Well, we're not doing assignments. But you might think about this. What other kind of barriers do we push against? Physical barriers, barriers of sickness, barriers of doubt, barriers of family, barriers of culture. Let me tell you what, it doesn't make any difference what cultural background you come from. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as New Zealand, America. There's no such thing as democracy or demagoguery. There's no such thing as totalitarianism. There's only the kingdom. That's it, okay? The Holy Spirit is now raising up sons who can withstand all that fiery friction and the shaking of breaking through. Oh, breaking through. Oh, breaking through. Oh, those who endure and overcome that shaking in order to press through come out in glorious liberty, right? And they're released in the realms of the Spirit. Once this happens, there is almost no limit to your progress. We can make, we can receive unlimited levels of spiritual revelation. There's such a freedom and a liberty on the other side of the sound barriers of doubt and fear. If I ask you, you'll say you don't have any doubt and fear. But, those are barriers we still have to press against, okay? As we progress through the spiritual dimensions, breaking down barriers and finding new levels of liberty, we set up something called sonic booms. These sonic booms, actually, they're emanating out of here at rapid pace. Just sonic booms. And those sonic booms will terrify the people that are still earthbound. They're not going to like it very well. Those that stay in a low earthly plane are going to really be shaken by the sonic booms. And when you see with the eyes of the Lord what's really going to happen, it'll blow your mind. Okay, while the heavenly realms, the eagles who have overcome all the limitations find no more limits. Okay, those limits were released from those limitations. In our traditional church thinking, we thought, well, he can let us die and he can take it to his beautiful heaven in the sky, but he can't perfect or empower us to overcome death and hell and everything here and have a perfected Christian walk with him. That's what our tradition said. Not true. So what are we coming into? We're coming into, and you can write these down, because I'm going to touch on these in as much time as we have left. Number one, we're coming into unlimited vision. Number two is unlimited knowledge. Number three, unlimited anointing. I'm going to take a break and let you guys write these down. Number four, unlimited finances. Number five, unlimited, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, unlimited transportation. That means teleportation. Number six, unlimited authority. Unlimited dominion. We're just now beginning to tap into that. And unlimited physical capabilities. God is so good. Come on. Unlimited vision. I'm seeing everybody writing. It's good you write it down because you need to look at it. You need to look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it. Because we become the thing that we look at, okay? All right, so everybody got it all down? He's the smart one. He just takes the photograph. Saves a whole lot of writer's cramp, right? So we have unlimited vision, unlimited knowledge, anointing, unlimited finances, unlimited transportation. Because there has been no pattern for this previously established, we only have one pattern. Jesus came to do a whole lot more than just save us from our sins. He came to be the pattern or the type of how we're to walk in holiness and righteousness before a righteous God. Amen? Therefore, the only pattern that we can follow is the pattern of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one up until this date that understood that. So let's talk for just a second about a release from limitations, that is, unlimited vision. I love this picture. It was taken by the Hubble telescope, and that's an actual picture taken right out of the heavens. And I thought, well, that really looks like the eye of God, so I'm going to put it on my computer. That means we have unlimited capacity to be able to do what? See the things that were, the things that are, the things that are yet to come. Unlimited vision. We can see in the angelic realm. We can see in the earth realm. We can see in the demonic realm. We can see all the way to hell if we want to, if we dare to go there. Don't go except by the command of God, though, all right? The body of Christ has come to a place of leaving behind all the childish things. When that which is perfect, Christ, comes, that which is in part passes away. When that which is perfect comes, that which is in part passes away. In the age of the church, we knew in part, we prophesied in part, we knew in part, we saw in part, we prophesied in part, but in the age of the kingdom, when Christ is formed in us, all of the in part passes away and everything becomes total. So it is with our vision. In other words, partial knowledge is going to become a thing of the past. We know in part, partial knowledge is going to go away. We'll see him clearly, and we shall know him even as he knows us, fully and completely. The first time I ever read that verse, I thought to myself, how is it even possible that we could know Jesus as well as he knows us? What does he know about us? Everything. Every thought we have, every word we speak, how many hairs are on our head, how many cells are in our body. And the word says, in that time, we will know him as well as he knows us. That just is mind-boggling. Now, a lot of times people say, well, you can't think the thoughts of God. And I say, well, we didn't used to be able to think the thoughts of God, but now we can think the thoughts of God. The reason is because the Lord is downloading that. 2 Corinthians 3. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that veil, that limited access, which is represented by the veil, will be taken away. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, as in a reflection, the glory of the Lord, are changed from one image to another image, and from one glory to another glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every time we get into ascension experience, every time we rise to the heavens and gaze into the character of Jesus Christ, we are changed. We're changed from one image to another image, from one glory to another glory. And this is how we move in that. We change from one image to another image to another image to another image to another image. Higher and higher and higher. Every time we ascend, every time we gaze into his eyes, we are changed. We can access that aspect of his character that he reveals to us. In fact, I'll tell you a secret, if I can. Thank you, Lord. One time I ascended into heaven, and I was standing there gazing into the eyes of Jesus. I could see the entire universe inside of his eyes. And suddenly he grabbed me and he turned me around like this and he pulled me into his body. And it was his body, his head, and my eyes looking out of his eyes. Let me tell you what, when that happens, everything changes. Nothing looks the same. Everything looks radically different. It's so much different than what we think it is. When we are ascend into the heavens, everything that we look at changes. Nothing looks the same as what it is. 2 Corinthians 3, that is Moses which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day it remains that same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Everything that obscures our sight will be removed. Amen? Okay, release from human limitations. Verily I say unto you, the Son of Man of himself can do nothing except that which he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father does, these things the Son does also. The first time I ever read that, I thought to myself, Lord, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of his own self, could do nothing except what he saw the Father doing, how do we think we can do anything if we can't see what the Father is doing? The only way we can see what the Father is doing is to go see it, right? We're going to do that tomorrow, by the way. So, he that sees me sees him that sent me. Jesus said, I don't come to reveal myself. I come to reveal the Father. Whoever sees me sees the Father. There comes another one after me that when he comes, he's not going to reveal himself. He's called to reveal me. I'm called to reveal the Father, that God might be the all in all. Therefore, we are here to represent Jesus Christ. And the day is coming. Thus saith the Lord. When he that sees me sees the Father. As we're formed to the image of Christ, that's what the end result is. Our only pattern then is to follow Jesus. Jesus himself had unlimited sight. And the reason is because he knew how to come up into a high place and see what was happening. He wasn't limited to the thing that he could see with this eye. In John 1:48, Nathanael came to Jesus with a whole lot of doubts and skepticism. Anybody know anybody like that? What he considered good grounds for not receiving Jesus as the Messiah. You're going to run into a whole lot of skeptics who aren't going to believe what you're saying concerning the kingdom. But with just one sentence from Jesus, all those arguments and doubts of Nathanael just disappeared because he had never met Jesus before. Therefore, the same principle was activated in Jesus that I discussed with you today. Jesus saw Nathanael before he ever saw Nathanael. All of his doubts were completely dissolved because he became a believer instantly because Jesus said a simple thing. When you were still under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, when he met him, he was not under the fig tree. There was something that happened with him under the fig tree. In fact, it's very interesting what happened. I'm not going to tell you about that. But he said, when you were still under the fig tree, I saw you there. When Jesus said that, instantaneously, Nathanael realized Jesus had a power beyond that which was earthly, because he knew where he was before he ever met him, and he knew what happened while he was under the fig tree. Remember today when I was telling you those experiences that I had about being caught up and just taking the hand of those people and reading their mail from the beginning all the way to the end? That's the same principle that Jesus used, all right? Unlimited sight dissolves doubt and unbelief, and it penetrates right into the heart of the unbeliever. I gave you some examples today, so I'm not going to do that. Ezekiel 1 and 10, and in Revelation we see living creatures around the throne that are full of eyes round about. God's interest has always been for us to see. In fact, one time I was caught up into the heavens, and I just love this. I just get in this blue-white tube chute, and whoo, I go like a million miles an hour, and all of a sudden I come out on the sea of glass laid out like this, and I always get so excited now because I'm expecting that when I get lifted up, I'm going to see Jesus. Well, one time I come out with all this expectation. I'm laying on the sea of glass expecting Jesus to lift me up, and when I lift up my head,
There's the beast full of eyes within and without, all over his body, plastered all over his body, all over the insides of his wings. He is ugly, okay? So I looked at this beast and my heart just went, ugh, I can't believe I'm looking for Jesus and I get the beast that's full of eyes within and without, and there's just like millions of eyes all over this beast. And he reaches down and he grabs me up off of the sea of glass and he wraps his wings around me and he smashes his eyes all over my body. And I can feel that these eyes all over my body and I'm going, ugh. It was like, yeah, you know, it didn't feel good at all. And I thought to myself, Lord, what in heaven's name is this? I tried to even get out of there and I couldn't get out because he had me so tight. It was like I was in a cocoon. So the next day when I came down, I was trying to process that. What was that all about? The very next day, my sightedness went increased like this because of the beast that it was before the throne. Okay. Let's go on. Ephesians 1:18. Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of our understanding might be opened. So, Father, right now, I thank you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Christ Jesus is theirs, that the eyes of their understanding will be opened up. In the book of Revelation, Jesus counseled the Laodicean church, anoint thy eyes with eye salve that you might see. It's God's desire and stated purpose that we have clear and unlimited vision so that the enemy cannot gain an advantage over us. An example of this would be 2 Kings verse 6. The king of Syria was making war against Israel. But every single move was already made known to Elisha, who turned to warn the king of Israel. How did he know the moves that were going to be made before they were made? Elisha had an unlimited vision, in a measure, into the activities and the plans of the enemy. Do you know we can know exactly what the enemy is doing when we are ascended into the heavens and look down and see into the second realm? We can know where he's going, what he's doing, what his plans are, what his strategies are, what his directives are. That when we come into that level of unlimited vision, the enemy gains no authority over us at all. It's interesting that he could know what was being said in his bedchamber. That's unlimited knowledge. Invisible, yet he's listening to his plans. Therefore, he knows what the king is planning to do. When the king sent his army to capture Elisha, his servant saw the army and was afraid, but Elisha was totally undisturbed. Why? Because he had a measure of unlimited vision. His eyes were open and he saw all the spiritual forces that were round about, the angelic hosts that were camped around about him, and that completely alleviated all fear. He looked into the realms of the unseen and he saw the angels that were coming to fight for them, and greater were the measure of angels than those that were on the field. How that came from a measure of unlimited vision. What was the result of his unlimited vision without fear? Single-handedly, he went down and smote them with blindness. Now, doesn't that sound like a godly thing? Go down and smite somebody with blindness? That wouldn't be God. Well, yeah, it was. He brought the entire army captive into Samaria. So when we begin to operate under that level of unlimited vision, the enemy can have no power over us whatsoever. Having unlimited vision into the unseen realm gives us great confidence in our battles against darkness and our battles within ourselves, and it further releases us from fear. Once we can see the plan of God, we will realize we absolutely, totally have nothing to fear. The words of man, the barriers that would hold us down and delay or defer the cause and plan of Christ in our life will no longer have any control over us whatsoever. A lot of times people will come to me and say, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid to go and minister to cannibals and headhunters? They still eat people
In fact, the cannibal tribe that I went to killed and ate eight missionaries the week before I got there. I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? Because I have unlimited vision. I know what my end is. I know what my end is. And I can tell you, I'm not going to be eaten by cannibals. When they say, aren't you afraid of death? I said, for what? Whether I live or whether I die really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, did I fulfill the purpose for which God sent me there? That's the only thing that matters. So it releases us from fear. Let's go back to Jesus. John 2:24. Jesus knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in the heart of man. That means he had knowledge and he had the wisdom about what to impart to who, because he knew what was in their heart. When men came to criticize him, before they even opened their mouth, Jesus revealed their own thoughts to them. They didn't even say what was on their mind. He just revealed it before they even spoke it. That comes from unlimited knowledge. It's different than the word of knowledge. Those two things are different. In the age of the church, we could work according to the word of knowledge. In the age of the church, we could work according to the gift of prophecy. But the gift of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy are two totally different operations, okay? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? The thoughts and the intentions of their hearts were revealed as if they had actually been verbally spoken. This is the level of knowledge that the Lord wants to bring us into. Simon said within himself, Jesus answered his questions and the questions of those present before their questions were even asked, because he had unlimited knowledge. Remember, before the throne, there's the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are spirits that are before the throne. You know, I used to think they were just stationed there. But then the Lord showed me, in order for us to even get to the throne, we have to encounter those spirits. All right? We have to learn how to walk in the level that those spirits extend to us. And when we learn how to walk to him, then we access the throne. Knowledge divinely inspired without measure is in the unlimited realm. This is the realm that God is calling us to right now, that unlimited knowledge realm. So let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do you know that we can have the mind of Christ? We can think the thoughts of Christ. We can lay hold of the thoughts of Christ. All right. This is the level that he's calling us to as manifested sons of God. As overcomers and conquering victorious sons, he's giving us unlimited knowledge. We have the mind of Christ. All right. The body of Christ has come to the place of leaving behind childish things. For 2,000 years, we've concentrated on the childish things. And now the word says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Childish things are any things that we consume on ourselves. Childish things are anything that oppose or exalt themselves against all that is God or godly. In other words, partial knowledge will be a thing of the past, and we shall know him completely. Father, I thank you. And I praise you right now. Praise you right now, Lord, that you're touching the hearts and minds of the people, changing and rearranging their thought processes and their paradigms. I thank you, Lord, that you're changing the structures of their thinking patterns to bring them into unlimited knowledge, unlimited sight, unlimited resources. Lord, I thank you. And I praise you that you're downloading these from the heavens right now. We give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.